Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Welcome back in. He's Mark Zander. I'm Brian Hanley. We're so glad you're with us on ESPN 1000. And you can check us out on the ESPN Chicago app. If Zander and I can operate it, you should have no issues. It's you take us with you. You're out and about on a Sunday, and you're getting some things done. You can still take part of the sports conversation, because we're talking Cubs and Sox. We're talking about Justin Fields, because why wouldn't you? And you can get a hold of Mark Zander at Zander Rocker on Twitter, one R, one word. And yep. Me at Brian Hanley 534 and at ESPN 1000 if you want to weigh in on our topics. 312-332-3776 if you want to join the conversation. And Mark, I still, if there's anyone in the Matt Nagy crowd that likes the blueprint that Matt Nagy has laid out, although he seemed adamant about it a few weeks ago, and then this week when he was actually putting together complete sentences and I could follow him, he seemed to say, well, he basically said, well, I'll know when Justin Fields is ready. And I think a lot of us have already said, well, if Andy Dalton's the other option, Justin Fields is ready. But if you were along with the coach, Matt Nagy, make the case for me, because you brought it up and people are talking about, well, why get the kid killed behind this offensive line? Tell me, and I'll ask Patrick Finley this too from the Chicago Sun-Times, tell me how that line's going to be appreciably different other than snaps together 4 weeks from now. Do they get better? Does continuity make them all of a sudden?
Wouldn't that be great if that was a certainty? We don't know until we get there. Yeah,
I would, if I had a bet on today, I would say it's not a certainty by any stretch, and it'll just be through more experience because, you know, Jason Peters, God bless him, he said, I was fishing. He goes, I wasn't following who needed me or what was, I mean, he goes, I was fishing. And then the Bears called and then he got, you know, got the hell solved. He's 39. He had 21 snaps last night. Fetty was no damn good. Now he's just back. So from a hip injury, but I know the interior of the offensive line gave you some encouragement last year because that came together rather well. But Justin Fields makes plays, and he made a play last night and was enough to get friends of mine texting me going, why is he not going to start against the Rams in week one? But if you believe he shouldn't, make that case for us, because I'd love to hear someone other than Matt Nagy say, yep, this is, you know, and look, Mark, Jordan Love up in Green Bay yesterday. Now here's a guy who's, you know, sat on the sidelines and was drafted in the first round,
He said 2 years, right? Is it been two or three?
Much to the chagrin of Aaron Rodgers. But when he got protection last night, he looked very good. When he got pressured, he looked like a guy who hasn't played much in the league, you know, and certainly not in the regular season. So now I get some people saying rookies are rookies, but Justin Fields seems special. And by the way, Justin Fields played at Ohio State and Georgia. Right, Jordan Love played at Utah. Right,
Bigger stage. Much bigger stage.
Rolling Stone side stage is what Justin Fields played on.
Major tour. Yeah. You know, the idea of Justin playing right away, we would all love to see that. But Patrick Finley in the article, and we'll talk to him about it coming up at 10:30. You know, had some points in there that maybe caution you to pause and say, yeah, you know what, maybe putting Andy Dalton in, you know, right away is the way to go. And we're all wondering, okay, how long does that carry us? And what is going to be the trigger? You know, Matt Nagy said, I'll know it when I see it. Well, Matt, share with us what you're looking for. What is going to be the indicator? I mean, that's a great answer, but it really tells us nothing. We'd like to know because we think we've seen it already, and we think we know, and we would love to know what is his trigger.
The cynic in me would say the longer you keep Justin Fields off the field, the later the clock starts ticking again in earnest against Ryan Pace and Justin Fields, because they drafted, which many, including myself, believe is a franchise quarterback. And I sang their praises draft day and the weeks following. And, you know, until I found out they drafted a guy with a bad back in the second round. And that's why you have some issues that you're going to move them already from one side to the other. But anyway, be it that the Jenkins issue, you have to deal with that because, you know, he has surgery. Justin Fields is that it's the Matt Nagy pick. It wasn't even the Ryan Pace pick. This one, unlike Mitch Trubisky, which was Ryan Pace's sole production to the point where John Fox was out of the loop, didn't even know they were considering it that day, was surprised to find out hours before the draft that's who they were taking, much to his chagrin. This was Matt Nagy's production. He identified Justin Fields. I give him all the credit in the world for that. Now it's up to him to – I don't even know how much you have to develop him because, you know, everyone says, well, Matt Nagy helped in the development of Patrick Mahomes. Okay. Yes, he was there, and he was quarterback's coach. Do you think Matt Patrick Mahomes wasn't going to eventually be Patrick Mahomes if Matt Nagy wasn't laying hands on him? You know, the healing hands of Matt Nagy?
The healing hands, right. I don't think that had Patrick Mahomes is a special kind of player. And, this was Matt's pick. We'll see what he can do with him. And I agree that this – was Ryan's way of, getting the player that Matt wanted. And now we can put the whole Mahomes thing behind us if they're successful. And this does buy them time, but how much time are they going to allow for Dalton to be doing? And let's face it, you know, switching gears here real quick, we haven't seen that much of Andy in the preseason. I know that's, you're not, the preseason doesn't matter much. But we need to see what is going to be our starting situation, and we really haven't. And talking to JD yesterday, he said that, I had asked, what is the purpose of preseason? And it's not about getting players ready, and it's not about assessing talent so much. It's just about getting that extra revenue. JD said that, and it's like, and it's not surprising. It's just, you know, it's a bit shocking for the football fan to think, why are we even doing this?
Well,
if that's not the purpose.
The old rule of thumb was the third preseason game was not the fourth one. The third one was a dress rehearsal for your starters. And, they would play into the second half and you would have an indication of, health considerations, everything else, how good your starters were going to look, right? That obviously no longer happens. There isn't a fourth preseason game. And so, to this point in the preseason, Dalton's had 33 snaps, Montgomery one, Allen Robinson zip, Darnell Mooney six, Goodwin one, Jimmy Graham six, Cole Kmet seven. Even last night, Jason Peters had 21 snaps. So, It's hard to gauge anything. But all I know is Justin Fields was 30 of 49 for 276 yards, two scores on his own, 92 yards rushing, and threw for a TD. And he looks the part. And going back a few weeks, he tried to clean it up, saying when he said the game day speed in the first game was actually slower than he anticipated. And he said, I wasn't trying to be cocky. I was just telling you, honestly, he said, I got to work every day. I get it. But he just matter-of-factly said he thought it was going to be a little bit more that he'd have to deal with. So you love that kind of confidence that, he said, I wasn't trying to act like I don't have things to learn. I love everything about his mentality and his demeanor.
Oh, I do too. Yeah. Yeah. It's been great to hear. He seems, it's the big stage from Ohio State, right? He seems to be grounded. He seems to be a very professional young man. He knows what to say. He knows he's got the work, but he knows he's got the skills. We've got some people waiting here to talk to us about what's up with the Bears. We'll start with Eddie on the north side. He wants to know something about number 9 on the Bears. Hey, good morning, Eddie. Yeah. Welcome to ESPN.
Yeah, nobody mentioned how great Nick Foles played yesterday. It was amazing the way he looked like. He never got a real shot in Chicago. Remember, Mitch is the one who started off with the first teamers and everything. And then without Tariq Cohen is how he won that championship in Philadelphia when he had that receiver going down the middle for a quick 7-8 yards. Dalton shouldn't be here. Foles should start, and then the other guy should move in if he gets injury. What?
Nope, I think we lost him.
Hey, Dalton's going to start because he's making $10 million a year. Now, I think Nick Foles is also on for $9 million or so, right, left on his contract?
Yeah, right. He's making just a little bit. There's a lot of money tied up in our backups.
Well, yeah, and so the whole thing with Nick Foles, and he was very good last night, no doubt, 10 of 13, 142 yards, two touchdowns. And again, Jesper Horsted was on the receiving end. I mean, three touchdowns for him. Terrific. Yes. Nick Foles wants, he's going to be traded or he's going to be cut. He's not going to be here. So the question is, do they hang, how long do they hang on to him, hoping that there's some team desperate enough to give him something, right? To give the Bears something in return for him. And Gardner Minshew was just traded for a conditional sixth-round draft pick, right?
Well, that's what you're hoping you get with Foles now, right? He played, well enough last night to maybe get you a sixth.
Right.
And that's why they played him, to try to get people to see, and they were hoping for the best outcome, and try to get people to see, we have an asset that maybe you could use. He's got no future here on the Bears.
No.
And the idea of getting rid of Dalton and keeping Foles, we've seen this movie before. We got to get out while he looks good, and last night was good enough, hopefully, to attract some attention.
So the question is, I mean, they don't want to eat all that money. So how long do they hang on to him to find out how desperate a team out there is to want to trade for Nick Foles, right? I mean, a lot of people thought the Colts would have been his landing spot, but he's still here. So I don't know.
Yeah, right. And it's a surprise to many that he is still here at this point.
Yeah, so don't worry about Nick Foles. He's not going to see if he's on the field for the Bears in a regular season
something
game.
Went really bad. Something
not only for
really
Andy Dalton, but for Justin Fields.
Yes. We're going to take one more call here. Ben on the South Side. Yeah, you know, he wants to talk about Justin Fields. Hey, Ben, good morning. ESPN 1000. You're with Brian and Mark.
Good morning, guys. Good morning. Here's my thing. If I'm a college coach and I get Arch Manning, he's starting day one. And Justin Fields, the same kind of talent. Why are we not playing him? Let him spin it. There's freshmen that get pulled up to varsity in high school. There's freshmen that walk in to college and start. This dude is not a freshman. Let him spin the ball. Let him go. Just take the shackles off of him and let him become a superstar. He's in the making. Peyton Manning did it. His brother did it. Like, come on. Like, let's go. Like, stop with the shackles.
Hey, there was talk earlier in the week that Justin Fields might be the only rookie quarterback selected high in the draft who wouldn't start on week one. Now, depending what happens with the 49ers, right? So are the Bears the smartest team in the league that they have to keep the bubble wrap on their franchise quarterback to be when everyone else, you know, whether it's Urban Meyer down in Jacksonville or up and down the line you go, of all the quarterbacks selected in the first round, Justin Fields is the guy who the Bears have the right plan and everyone else is stupid for throwing their guy into the fire on week one. Yeah, I'd like to believe the Bears are that smart, but they seem to be the outlier, Mark.
Yeah, they certainly are. And I can't help but wonder if this is based on a few different things. First of all, Nagy and Pace being extra careful because they're trying to secure their future here. Secondly, we saw what and Trubisky, I am not comparing Trubisky heads up to Fields. They're two different players, obviously. But what happened with Trubisky, you know, with Glennon failing so hard, Trubisky getting thrown in, is this a byproduct of that? Like, ooh, remember what happened there. Let's sit Justin as long as we possibly can. You know, we won't have that total insight, but you know that there's some of that working in the background, I would assume.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Instagram at ESPN_Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Welcome back on ESPN 1000. You got Mark Zander, Brian Hanley. We're glad you're with us on this Sunday morning. 312-332-3776 is the telephone number if you want to join the conversation. Talking Cubs, Sox, Bears. Patrick Finley from the Sun-Times will join us in just a few minutes here to join to get his perspective on all things Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears. And Mark, you know, the idea that Justin Fields might be the only rookie drafted high in the first round, not starting in week one, gives me pause because, again, I don't think I saw a poll or a story in the Tribune that was a national story where they ranked all the coaching staffs. And it was, you know, one guy's opinion, but it was based on for bettors, basically, what they had a formula to kind of discern and evaluate each coaching staff. And I believe Matt Nagy and the Bears staff came in at 30. So a lot of people don't believe that we have the brightest in the NFL running the Bears organization. But that being said, depending what happens with Trey Lance out in San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo indicated, seemed to let slip that he was going to start week one and Trey Lance would not be part of the consideration as a starter. So he would be Justin Fields. He would sit and watch. But John Lynch, who fleeced Ryan Pace in the Trubisky deal, who runs things out in San Francisco, he basically said we could have both guys playing and basically we'll have a Trey Lance package or two to keep opposing teams, make them prepare for both quarterbacks.
Sure.
And maybe you wouldn't see like a full quarter of Trey Lance, but you would see him in a series or two, kind of what they've done in New Orleans. I haven't heard Matt Nagy even broach that subject or suggest that that could be a possibility where you have Justin Fields packages or in certain situations you want his athleticism in there. It seems like he's either going to sit the entirety of the season, assuming Andy Dalton health and productivity, or he's going to be out there as a starter because Andy Dalton didn't get the job done.
Yeah, but would it be beneficial for Matt to be very obvious about that as far as using Justin in that type of role? You know, maybe he's holding back, but I do agree that it's telling that, beyond the San Francisco situation, that most of the other quarterbacks that were drafted high this year are going to get a start, and Justin Fields will not. There's so many angles to this, and we had a caller earlier that said, throw him out there. That's how you're going to learn, and in a lot of ways it is. I mean, you could sit there and watch, but like most things, you have to learn by doing, right, Brian? And the idea that the O-line is not going to be able to protect them, I call a little bit BS on that because that O-line's going to be the same for Andy Dalton and, put my money on Justin to escape trouble before Andy can.
Yeah, what's the Malcolm Gladwell theory that you have to do something 10,000 times till you become proficient at it?
Right, right. And sitting around, look, I get that, but I think that again, it's telling that you've got and I know the Cam Newton situation in New England, but Mac Jones, because he's in the COVID-19 protocol, but, Mac Jones is going to see some time and obviously Trevor Lawrence is too. Look, there's so many questions surrounding this and we just don't know what Matt Nagy's trigger is going to be. Let's go to the phones here. Rob in Itasca joins us on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, guys. I'm going to go against the grain here a little bit. I don't want him to start week one, and I got a couple reasons why. You're playing on national TV against the Rams defense. You know they're going to be fired up. Our offensive line stinks. I think they're going to get 5 or 6 sacks. So maybe if Fields were in, maybe it'd only be 3 sacks. But I don't want my franchise, quote-unquote, quarterback running for his life in the first game he plays. I would much rather see can start week 4 against Detroit. He'll still have 13 games to get his feet wet, and that's plenty of time for him to develop into the stud we all hope will be. And that's my point.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, thank you for joining us here on ESPN 1000. Remember, Patrick Mahomes ran for his life.
Yes.
And that wasn't pretty, and there's a guy who can escape trouble.
Well, let me ask you this, Mark. So if Andy Dalton, God forbid, were to get injured because that Rams defense is so tenacious, and they, they come out and they're going to just come for the quarterback. If Justin Fields is too precious to put behind that offensive line, argument is there. Is Nick Foles come out then in game one in the second quarter? If God forbid,
still have him, but still, I think that's avoiding the obvious. You can't bubble wrap this kid.
No,
he's going to have to learn how to survive in the context of a regular season NFL game. And if he gets knocked down a few times, that's going to be part of it. We're just assuming the worst, which we can't do.
Also, newsflash for everyone. All 32 teams have a front four that can end someone's season on one play. That's just the nature of football.
Yeah, yeah, right. Exactly, Tyler. Great point. So so we can't avoid the obvious. We have to use him. Why did we draft him if we're not going to use him in a situation? Now, okay, start Dalton. But if Dalton gets hurt, you can't go to Foles. You can't. No.
Well, but here in the Buffalo game, when Justin Fields didn't see the guy coming, and the helmet goes flying because it's a helmet-to-helmet contact, and the flag is thrown. I mean, I'm holding my breath to see if he gets up. Well, he got up and he put the helmet back on, and
he bounced right up.
Yeah. Right, but I mean, I get it. I understand that you're one play away from going, oh my God, now what? Because Justin Fields is not even available. But at some point, as Tyler said, most teams have one, two, or three or four of those guys, and it's up to this coaching staff with this limited availability and patchwork offensive line to scheme as much as they can to keep Andy Dalton or Justin Fields out of harm's way. And that's going to be part of it. And that means a lot more David Montgomery, even though Matt Nagy seems to be averse to running the ball, even though he keeps talking about it.
Right. Yeah. Let's get to the phone again. Here's Earl in Cicero. He's got some thoughts on the O-line. Good morning, Earl.
Hey guys. How are you?
Good.
Believe me, pace. Come on. Drafting these guys that are hurt, they can't even start. He hasn't penciled in to be the starting offensive lineman, our second-round pick. This is brutal. I mean, I don't care who they have behind the quarterback. You can't block. The guys are going to go. Fields might play the first game because Dalton might get knocked out at the first game. And then you're not going to be able to run the ball. Now, you guys tell me, the Bears are going to have the worst offensive line, I think, of all 32 teams. That's going to be a fact. And so this is going to be Nagy's coaching job here to scheme away. I mean, how are you going to run if you can't block it? You know, sure, Fields can run around, but it doesn't matter if you don't have an O-line to block. And Pace, this is brutal. Pace should have seen this 2 years ago. I mean, come on.
Oh, no doubt.
No, it's Errol, thanks for the call. No, it's one of the biggest indictment I've seen against Ryan Pace this week. And it's, week to week, you can find different indictments against a general manager who's going into, his seventh season running this team with all the issues and mistakes he's made. The top 100 NFL players voted by NFL players, right? It came out on NFL.com. Hazard a guess, Mark, on how many Bears made the poll. This is voted by peers, by the NFL players themselves, and they do it each and every year, and they've been doing it for a while now. How many Bears do you think cracked the top 100 in the NFL?
Well, I'd like to say three, Brian, but I'm sure that I'm wrong.
You're a little bit high. You're just a touch high.
Okay.
Yeah, Khalil Mack is the highest ranking of the two Bears that made the list. He comes in at 23. Okay, 50 tackles last year, 11 for losses, 9 sacks, 13 QB hits, and for what's worth, Pro Football Focus has him as the top edge rusher going into the season in all of the league. On offense, Allen Robinson, pay me now and pay me more, don't tag me, number 87. So he looks great here because he might be a big fish in a very shallow pond, but that's it. One on either side of the ball, and that's it. Out of 100 possibilities, you've got two, one on either side of the ball. And tell me how great the defense is again and how it's a Super Bowl made ready, Robert Quinn defense. Just that, again, that's people putting on the helmet and lining up against these guys.
Yep.
And that's Jacksonville, I think, might have had more representation. I have to go back and double check.
Yeah, that's a damning proposition, from your peers for that. But, that's based on last year. We have all kinds of hope for this year. We need Quinn to show up. I Mac's always doing the job. It's just not maybe as flashy as year one with the Bears. But the O-line is the big glaring issue here. And it is aggravating to be a Bears fan to know that this has been an issue for so long. It hasn't been addressed. It's great that we have a franchise quarterback. But what do we do about the protection for this franchise quarterback?
Well, you know who can help us out and give us guidance and insight? Patrick Finley from the Chicago Sun-Times.
Yes, he can.
Part of the great team coverage over at the Bright One, covering your Chicago Bears. And he will join Mark Zander and me right after we come back on ESPN 1000.
ESPN 1000. ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Follow Chicago's home for sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Well within field goal range now. They're looking for a touchdown and a lead at the end of this first half behind Fields. Fields stepping away from the pressure again. Throws this time to the end zone. Tight window for Horsted. He held on. Touchdown.
That's a hell of a throw. Hell of a throw to back shoulder Horsted on that play. Why he's rolling right. Feels the pressure in the pocket. Steps up. Rolls to his right. He's just got to feel. Look, his eyes are downfield the whole time. He felt what was going on.
Thanks to Fox for the call on the play that everyone was talking about last night on social media, and the play that this man, Patrick Finley, wrote about in the Sun-Times today. With one throw Saturday, Justin Fields shows how special he can be, and Patrick Finley joins Mark Zander and me right here on ESPN 1000. Patrick, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are you?
Hey, Patrick.
Hey, not too bad. How are you guys?
Good, good.
I was good while I was watching that because, as you said, it was a snooze fest up to that play, and immediately I've been getting texts from friends who are big-time Bears fans saying, really, can we speed this timeline up? Why again, won't he be starting against the Rams? And, you know, a lot of people are thinking the Bears are handling this the right way. Where do you stand on big picture? Because it almost sounds like Matt Nagy opened the door a little bit at the beginning of the week that sitting in the entire season is not really the foolproof blueprint. There's a possibility.
Yeah, I think you've noticed a slight change in messaging here over the last couple of weeks. Justin Fields is further along than the Bears thought he would be at this point. You know, even Matt even said it last night. You know, if we have to play him, we think he's ready. And you know, that if is the thing that fans seem to be hung up on. But the Bears are really happy with the way he's looked. You know, the question then becomes, you know, why not just throw him out there right now? And, you know, I think you guys know this, that, you know, in the preseason, a lot of vanilla coverage. Nobody's game planning for Justin Fields. Nobody's having a spy sitting there, you know, waiting to chase him down if he takes off running. Andy Dalton has done this for 10 years and probably does give them the best chance to win in week one. Is that going to be the case in week four or six or eight? I don't know. I think the odds of that are going down. I think, you know, Justin Fields playing in October makes a ton of sense at this point. And I'm not sure the Bears or even myself would have said that, you know, on what, late July when they started training camp.
Right. Patrick, in your column, you wrote, Fields will begin the regular season as the backup for the same reasons he struggled early in the game. Give us your thoughts on those struggles for those who thought that he just looked great start to finish and it's a no-brainer for him to start game one.
Well, it's funny. I mean, look at this game and look at the Dolphins game in the first preseason game. What was so compelling about Fields putting together these exciting plays is that, you know, he found a way to get himself out of a rut. You know, he started off terribly against the Dolphins. The Bears offense had run 14 plays in the first half when that 2-minute drill started and when they finally did get unlocked. And I'll remind you too, that they got down to the 20-yard line on a pass interference penalty and on a unnecessary roughness penalty when Rodney Adams got suplexed at the end of the play. It's not like they went 60 yards
because
some sort of fantastic offensive production. Yeah, it's just a little choppy right now. And, you know, I know people are going to scream at the radio as well, it's choppy with Andy Dalton. And maybe that's right. But, you know, the fact that, you know, there were times yesterday when, you know, there was a pass rusher in his face, he didn't make the throw. There were checkdowns where he was just a split second too late, and you saw there was, you know, a drop or a defender hitting at the right time. He was just not as crisp as he needed to be. And, you know, if you look at training camp, if you look at these practices that we've been at, my God, when he flashes, he is the best player on the field. But, you know, he is not making the proper decision on every single play. And, you know, that's to be expected. He's a rookie. I don't say that to disparage him. And I think the Bears are confident that Dalton will make more of those right decisions to start the year than Fields will.
He's Patrick Finley. You read him in the Chicago Sun-Times, suntimes.com. And Patrick, this offensive line, so everyone who says, well, you know, why would you put Justin Fields behind this offensive line and risk getting him hurt? I responded to that with a question. other than continuity, and I know how important continuity is for an offensive line, but with Jason Peters and Ifedi, week four, week six, like you said, how much better can it be? Not that it needs to be much better, but simple reps as a unit will be make it a serviceable offensive line, beyond serviceable, a good offensive line, or it is what it is, and then it's up to Matt Nagy to keep quarterbacks Dalton and Fields out of harm's way.
And I think a B or a B plus for the O-line is probably the ceiling we're looking at here. The best way they're going to improve, you know, in the next 2 weeks and then once game starts, Jason Peters, who's 39 years old and who was fishing in a creek in Texas when the Bears called him.
Right.
But he needs to play his way into football shirt. And there's a difference between practicing and playing in the game. You know, Matt Nagy was asked yesterday whether he was confident that Jason Fields could play the full game in week one. And his answer was, I trust Juan Castillo, I trust Jason. But it wasn't a resounding yes. You know, the Bears are really going to need to see him get into better shape over the next 2 weeks. That's going to be really difficult because the Bears have, I believe, two whole padded practices between now and the Rams game. So there'll be some conditioning and some cardio going on with him. If the line is better, you know, a month into the season, it will probably be because, you know, Peters is in better shape, provided that he's, you know, still out there and that he's healthy enough to play. Jermaine Ifedi, I'd argue to you, for being a punchline in Seattle, I think Ifedi had a pretty decent season last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to expect average to slightly above average play from him at right tackle, I don't think that's insane. And then you look at the three guys in the middle and they're steady and they played, you know, particularly Sam Mustipher and Cody Whitehair played really good at the end of last year. James Daniels was hurt. So, is the offensive line going to make some sort of giant leap? I don't think so. You know, one of the things about playing all these veterans is you kind of know what you've got. But, you know, time, you know, over the next 2 weeks, time is on their side. And then when games start, it is absolutely not on their side.
How good is this defense and how good does it need to be right now?
It needs to be pretty good. You know, we haven't seen this defense together all camp in any sort of situation that matters. There is a bit of a question mark there. I think Robert Quinn has looked good. That was maybe my biggest question mark coming into this season was whether Robert Quinn was toast yet. I don't think he is toast. You know, this is a guy who had two sacks after signing a $70 million contract last year. So the Bears obviously need more out of him. I think, you know, we didn't see too much creativity out of Sean Desai, the defensive coordinator, but, you know, nobody really does anything in the preseason. I would not be surprised to see Khalil Mack moving around the line of scrimmage on obvious passing downs when the games start to matter. And, you know, when he does that, you know, maybe that opens up some things for him where it's not an automatic double team or triple team anymore. You know, the linebacking crew, I thought Alec Ogletree wound up being a really good decision by them. He's made the team. He didn't play yesterday. And you wonder whether he can spell Danny Trevathan in certain situations or is at the very least just a really good insurance plan for him. I mean, remember, guys, they played Manti Te'o in their playoff game last year because their two starting linebackers were hurt. Manti Te'o. Manti Te'o right. Hadn't played a game all season. He'd been on the practice squad, and here he is, you know, calling the plays in the huddle against the Saints in the playoffs. The Bears didn't want a repeat of that. And then, you know, the last big question with them is who's going to play corner opposite Jalen Johnson. You know, nobody has emerged as a superstar or even a star or even an overwhelmingly competent choice at this point. You know, Kendall Vildor is probably the starter in my mind if the season were to begin today. But this is one of those things where on Tuesday, you know, maybe you bet the field and maybe you say the Bears starting corner in week, you know, 3, 4, or 5 isn't on their team right now. Maybe it's the best player who gets cut by one of the teams around the league.
Patrick, how are you feeling about the receiver core?
I guess it depends on how you phrase the question. The pass-catching core, I think, has a chance to be pretty good. You know, when you look at Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney, I have no concerns with them. And then you look at Cole Kmet and Jimmy Graham. They could end up being maybe the best tight end tandem in the league or one of the best for sure. And neither of them have the, you know, ceiling of, you know, some of the best 5 or 6 tight ends in the league. But the two of them combined, I think, could be pretty good.
Damian Williams is super intriguing to me. I think he's going to play the Tariq Cohen role to start the season because, you know, my guess is Tariq goes on the PUP list to start the year. That's the physically unable to perform list. That would keep him out for at least the first 6 weeks of the season. So get used to not seeing Tariq Cohen around for the next 2 months. But Damian Williams could be good in his place. And I think even David Montgomery, there's reason to think that he could be more of a pass catching option than he was before.
Okay.
So you take all those guys on a whole, and you know, I think it's a pretty decent group. The wide receiver position itself, though, Demir Byrd is the third receiver, has looked good to me. But beyond that, I mean, Marquise Goodwin, everybody talks about how fast he is. You know, I don't know that he's ever been a good receiver. And I think there's a difference between the two. And then, you know, at the back end, Rodney Adams. Rodney Adams has been too good to cut in the preseason. But this is a guy who turns 27 next month and has never caught a pass in a regular season game. I don't know how much you can rely on him to help you when the game starts.
Patrick, appreciate your insight, and thanks for taking time today. And we'll be reading you throughout the season on sometimes.com. And, of course, you can always pick up the Chicago Sun-Times, the best sports section in town. So, Patrick, thanks so much.
Thanks, Patrick.
Yeah, we don't even pay you to say that. Thank you.
Well, I'm an alum. I like to believe that I will always have Sun-Times ink running through my veins. But, yeah, love you, Pat. Take care. Guys.
Thanks.
Patrick Finley joining us. And a lot there, Mark. And we can open up the phone lines and see what Bears fans think. 312-332-3776. And we'll take your calls when we come back on ESPN 1000.
Northwestern football, Chicago's Big Ten team. College football returns to Wrigley Field this fall for the first time since 2010. Join NU as they take on Purdue on November 20th. Tickets on sale now at nusports.com.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Facebook at ESPN Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
It is ESPN 1000, and you can follow us on the ESPN Chicago app. And don't forget, we're in HD2, 100.3 HD2. You can catch us many ways. It's Mark Zander, Brian Hanley on a Sunday morning talking sports, talking Bears, talking Cubs and Sox. Jesse Rogers will be joining us at the bottom of the 11 o'clock hour. And we're going to get some Bulls talk because Tyler Aki's got some thoughts. I know Charles Barkley, Mark, had some thoughts, very encouraging words to Waddle and Sylvie, saying that the Bulls won the offseason with the moves the front office made. And they made another one since then with sending Lauri Markkanen in a three-way deal to Cleveland, and Lowry's happy that he got a sign and trade done. He's going to get paid and a new opportunity. And looks like the Bulls have got a player that they've been trying to get for a couple of years, even to the old Garpax days. So we'll talk to Tyler about that. But I want to go back to something Patrick Finley just said. B or B plus could be the grade you could give this offensive line when it's all said and done this season. That's encouraging. I was going to say
that's better than expected. I heard that, and I'm like, okay, maybe this.
Oh, you can live with that.
We can do that.
Yeah, that was shortly after a caller said the Bears have to have arguably the worst offensive line in the league right now, and you know maybe you'd be hard pressed to argue that point. So I'm all for the high ceiling or B or B plus unit. Time will tell. And again, I guess you're just basing it on. I mean, I don't know what he based it on. Jason Peters, 39. He got 21 snaps. And as Patrick said, Matt Nagy said he was going to have to ask Jason Peters how he felt after the game. And, you know, was right. He winded? He's obviously not in game shape. He's only had a couple padded practices. And Patrick,
he was in fishing shape.
Yes, he was. I don't know what he was using on the end of the line there in the creek in Texas. But
right.
The Bears are obviously fishing for a little help here, too. So, I mean, I don't, if it's not a B or B plus unit, and we talked about it with Patrick, do you have faith that Bill Lazor and Matt Nagy and John DeFilippo can scheme their way into an above average offensive line? At least the offense is able to operate behind that unit to a point of being a winning team.
Yeah, Brian, we're going to see their skill set, aren't we, on the coaching side? Cody in South Bend wants to weigh in here on the Chicago Bears. Good morning, Cody. Thanks for hanging out.
Good morning, guys. I just have a big question. Why do we believe in Bears' developmental team? I just don't understand it. They haven't developed anybody. since, I mean, Cody Whitehair, but he was a proven starter off rip. And last game, Andy Dalton would have been sacked probably 6 or 7 times. There's nothing better than live game experience for a QB. I know we're putting him out in there, but Jason Peters looked great. Yeah, he's 39, but he broke a pinky toe. That's the whole reason why he was out. He's always been a solid offensive tackle, but he was getting paid a lot for Eagles. That's why they cut him. So I understand why, because he's 39, but he has proven. Just if you watch last game's tape, he was man-dogging, man-holding everybody. But I just really believe that Justin Fields needs to play now, because if he's doing that in practice, he can't gain no more experience than what they do, because they're going to probably baby him in practice. They're probably not going to send him a whole out blitz. You know, he can't see defensive coverage if he's like in practice. He has to see a live game. That's just how I feel.
Yeah, and that's we've talked about that. Yeah, you know, and at some point he's going to have to play behind that O-line. Now, the whole thing with Peters is I'd rather Brian and I want you to weigh in on this as well. Thanks, Cody, for the call. Wouldn't you rather have a guy that's a little older, that's got to work himself into a little better shape, but his head is there and he knows how to play that position, than some of the other guys that are trying to win the position that maybe are playing a little, they're trying to play over their head?
Yeah, no doubt, Mark. I mean, you want a guy who's been at the Pro Bowl and earned it for years. And the only thing is that I've seen, different scouts with, anonymously weighing in on it when asked from Bears beat writers about where Jason Peters is at. And he was out fishing for a reason, but they said there's no doubt he knows what he's doing. And he's, that gives him a nice leg up on a lot of defensive players. It's just, what kind of shape he's in, what kind of shape can he get in, and how can he sustain that? Because 39's old, not to you and me and to a lot of people, but 39 in the NFL, your mind may say, I need to be here. Now you got to get your body over there. So, time's going to tell on that. And, again, when you look at the Bears offense in totality, I just wonder if it's going to be, will they have a Justin Fields package? Where you will, and I'm with you. It'd be stupid of Matt Nagy to come out and say, yes, we will. Although John Lynch had no issue saying that. And we've seen it work in New Orleans.
True.
Where, by the way, Jameis Winston is apparently going to be the starting quarterback. So you maybe don't telegraph that to everyone. But then that at least if you show that in week one against the Rams, bring Justin Fields out for a series or two. First of all, it would blow up the blueprint that Matt Nagy has been talking about for months now since they drafted him. And, two, it would give opposing defensive coordinators something to have to watch the tape and account for. Because if you saw him against the Rams, why wouldn't you see him in weeks 2, 3, and 4, at least for a series or a couple snaps or two?
Yeah, you've got a great point. And I think that is really going to be on Matt to kind of keep people off balance to see. Yeah, or, to try to keep people guessing, opponents guessing, because, again, we have our challenges, and that's coaching around the challenges. Now, back to the O-line real quick. Jason Peters, now, I've talked to Fred about this, and he totally poo-pooed this. I want to get your, view on this. With a guy like Jason Peters, I mean, he's a good guy to have around, because can he spread that knowledge of how to play the O-line, in these positions and the mentality to these younger guys? Or is he just generally some of these, veterans are just not interested in doing that, in helping out the young kids. They're just interested in going there, playing their position, and getting the paycheck. They're not interested in helping or coaching.
And babysitting,
And babysitting, yeah.
Well, I would hope that Jason Peters, and I don't know enough of, I like what I've heard from him. He said, basically we can be a Super Bowl type team, right? He's talking the part. I think he will be a lead by example guy. And I think he will also, bend an ear if the younger guys want to talk to him about stuff. But,
certainly hope. Yeah.
That would be an added benefit. You just need him to do the job right now.
Yep.
I mean, I don't think he's adverse to leading by example and leading in actual, help mentoring and tutoring guys. But right now, I think he just needs to focus in on nailing down that job and being as close to the Jason Peters of Pro Bowl. Then it's because the Bears need that desperately right now, whether it's
right
fields.
Right, and having a veteran like that, that could be a two-pronged positive, is play the position and help those younger guys along. That would be the ultimate. Let's take another call before we go to break. Paulie in Lake Geneva wants to talk about the defensive side of the Chicago Bears. Hey, Paulie.
Welcome. Hey, guys, good show. Two quick points. I know we're up against it, and I didn't call for this reason. But the reason why Quinn and Mac don't appear to be the same rushers that they were is because playing at Soldier Field is like playing in a cow pasture. It's totally different than playing on AstroTurf, so that's why they're not as fast. But here's why I really called, and it's been downplayed a lot. Fields is an epileptic, and they keep putting it off that, oh, we don't have to worry about it. He's on medication. It's under control. Epilepsy is never under control. You have medication to take care of it. If you go through a fit, it can be set off by altitude changes. It can be set off by drinking too much. It doesn't even have to be a high hit. If you don't think these defensive teams don't know that, I see that the guy got fined $5,800 for hitting him in the head like that. Yeah. That was no coincidence that they went after his head. These defensive coordinators, they motivate their guys by giving prizes.
Bounty gate down in New Orleans. Yeah.
Knocking guys out of games. And that's why you got to be careful with Fields. You can't put him in there behind this crappy offensive line we have now. Now, they can't say that, but that's what it is. And that's why the kid dropped to 13th, or he'd have been drafted second or third. It's because of this possibility of an epileptic seizure.
Well, if that's true, Paulie, then we're not going to see Justin Fields all year.
Well, and Paulie, thanks for the call.
Yeah, thanks, Paulie. Yeah.
The medical on anyone is evaluated thoroughly. And, you know, the Bears still went and got an offensive lineman, a tackle, a would-be tackle with back, needed back surgery. And you take them at their word, it's not the same back issue. I don't know if I should feel better about that or not. That's not the one that's been bothering.
Well, it's still an issue that's keeping him out.
Well, now he might have two issues in the back if you take him at his word. But but a lot of teams, to Paulie's point, I'm not going to discount his medical history. It was managed all through college on a huge stage, on stages. It has not been an issue. And I will hope that the Bears medical staff evaluated that and said that we have no issues with that. There might have been teams that said, we love the kid, but, and they look at that and said, that's what, you know, that was a yellow flag or a red flag, and we'll find somebody else. And we don't know. We weren't in all those war rooms. But I'm sure the Bears looked at it, talked to him about it, talked to the medical people, you know, maybe Ohio State's training staff, did their due diligence, because you don't go ahead and draft a kid that high without doing that.
No, you definitely don't. And especially such an important position. So, yeah, we'll kind of see. You know, that has been something that we haven't been talking about too much, but hopefully it's not something that is going to come into play. We're going to take a quick break. We'll get back to the phones talking to you about the Bears. Should Justin start? What do you think about the O-line? What do you think about the defensive side? We'll get to Jesse Rogers at 11:35, bring the conversation back to the Crosstown Classic, game number 3. Of the 3-game set this afternoon. We'll have the pregame at 12:30 right here on your home for White Sox baseball. ESPN 1000, back to the phones with you. After 2 minutes here, it's Hanley at Xander on ESPN 1000 Chicago.